Hey, Dutch Sheets here, and wow, I'm excited about the last podcast I did and the one we're about to do. I have a young friend of mine with me. Of course, 40 is younger all the time. To me, it's like I'm being a kid. But I have a young friend of mine with me whom I won't take the time to introduce as fully as I did on the last podcast. I just recommend that you listen to that podcast if you haven't. It will set the stage for this one. It will give the history that I have with this young man, and it'll give some of his history. And we use that to segue into a conversation about America's roots, our history, and how God raised up this nation and why we love America. And he talked about why he loves America. And I think this is important because of what's happening in our nation right now with the attempt to slander us and our history and say we are an evil nation or that our roots are evil. And there's a reason why the left, and I believe Satan, wants to distort our history. If he is trying to change our history, and he's so bent on doing that, then history must be pretty important. And if so, why is it important? Why would he want to do that? Why is it important for us to know the truth about our history? And then, of course, are we really a Christian nation? Were we founded as a Christian nation? Or are we as President Obama said, well, no, we're a Muslim nation, we're a Hindu nation, we're an atheist nation, we're not a Christian nation. Excuse me. So why does that matter? So I brought my young friend on, Will, retired Major Will Osteen, who is also the young man who gave me the Appeal to Heaven flag. And I tell that story briefly on the last podcast and then in my book, Appeal to Heaven. So I just want to jump in where we left off and talk about our Christian heritage, talk about the importance of history, why it matters, and let Will jump in and teach us a little, and I'll ask questions and be the student with all of you. Thanks for being with me again, Will.
It's great to be back, Papa Dutch.
Love you.
Love you too. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the importance of history. One of the authors that I've read a lot is Oz Guinness. He is just a brilliant writer and thinker. Got a doctorate of philosophy at Oxford. And he has gone back, you know, through history and then, you know, looks at it and extrapolates, you know, where we're at today and where we're going. And he says that America is a cut flower civilization. And I'm going to unpack what that means. You know, we have for years, and if, again, if you listened to the previous podcast, you know, I did the Flame of Liberty in 5 to 7 minutes talking about, you know, our founding, you know, based on God, going through quotes from our leaders, from everybody from Patrick Henry all the way up to Ronald Reagan. And so Oz would say, you know, since the 60s, all of that from 1775, you know, to the 60s, now we have cut that flower. We have severed our life from the root system. We've severed our history. And, you know, both you and I are married to absolutely beautiful, intelligent, wise women, and we like to give them flowers as a sign of our love and affection for them. And, you know, without fail, with, you know, the hundreds of flowers that I've given to my wife over 19 years of marriage, I go buy them. They look beautiful, you know, for a week, maybe 2 weeks. But then they wither and die. And so they may look good for a while, but once you sever that flower from its root, eventually it's going to die. And so that is what the left and these Marxists are doing. And that's why our history, our roots, is so important. This is not just dry dates. This is not irrelevant, you know, matter. It, you know, oh, some would say, who cares if you know, we say the country's origin was based on 1776 or 1619, you know, like this new New York Times study, which has been completely debunked. You know, who cares? We're talking about numbers hundreds of years ago. No, it absolutely matters. Mm-hmm. Because if you sever the root, you change the fruit.
Boy, that's a truth. That's so good.
It's that simple. And of course, the Bible is full of agrarian analogies, sowing and reaping. And, you know, I have no ability in farming, but I have been to the Midwest. I've been to Nebraska. I've done some public speaking out there at some Christian universities. And, you know, Nebraska's farmland. And man, those farmers, they are all about planting and protecting the root system, the soil. Mm-hmm. And so if your foundation is undone, whether it's in farming or ideas, because the sociologist Richard Weaver said ideas have consequences.
They grow things, don't they? Like roots.
That's right. And you know, you and I, the other day when we were talking about how important it is, your thought life and your mental strength, and I really have to be careful here. I can't go into too much detail, but I have a friend of mine who is the elite of the elite when it comes to the special operations unit. And, you know, when you look at these movies, you know, and you see these Navy SEALs, you just think, oh, every Navy SEAL, every special operator is 6'5" and 230 and rippling with muscles. Well, my friend, you know, you don't want to mess with my friend. He's about 5'6" and 140 pounds Wow. soaking wet. But what he has is the strongest mental game Wow. of anyone I've ever met. And in the special operations community, they call it the internal dialogue, the ability to master your internal dialogue. So ideas have consequences. And so the 1776 versus 1619, this rewrite our nation's history. You know, America is evil. It was a slave nation. There's nothing good about it. That is actually going to destroy all of us. And I don't even know where these anarchists and Marxists, like what their end game is, because, you know, the American Revolution was so unique in that, you know, not only had nothing happened like it before 1776, I want to talk about after 1776. So 1789, the French Revolution failed, it descended into anarchy. You know, they start killing people with the guillotine, done. Then 1917, the Russian Revolution descended into anarchy and chaos, done. In the 1950s, Mao Communist Revolution in China descended into chaos, totalitarian regime. So pre-1776 and post-1776, there has never been a country like America. And why is that? It's because all of our foundational documents, Constitution, all of our order, it is based on the presupposition and what that means is the foundational thought, you know, the assumption that we must be a religious and moral people. We must honor God. Now, does it mean like, hey, if you're an American, you have to be a Christian? No, that's not what it means.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
We had Muslims in this country, you know, as early as the 1600s. It doesn't mean that at all. But every founding father, even the ones who, you know, you'd say like Ben Franklin, who he's like, okay, he's not a Christian. I think that he is the best proof of our founding as a Christian nation, because even somebody like him would call for days of prayer and, you know, exactly. Like, hey, we need to seek God here. And
it's the truth,
you know, so he understood, even if he's not going to say, okay, I believe in Jesus, you know, and be an Orthodox believer, he knows that they needed God.
That's right. He did,
you know, and so if you eliminate that, and we'll stay on Franklin, because there's this famous story of, you know, when he walks out of the Constitutional Convention, there's this woman who walks by him and says, you know, Mr. Franklin, what have you given us? And he says, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it.
Right.
And so, you know, underlying that phrase is ideas have consequences, you know. If we change our narrative of our founding, then it will go away.
It will.
It's a cut flower civilization. If you change the roots, you change the fruits.
That's right.
And it leads to death. So history is not some, you know, dry. And I understand why it can feel like this, especially to young people, you know, because you get one bad history teacher in high school and you're like, why do I have to memorize all these dates of dead people? What does this have to do with me? Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to have my dad, which I referred to in the other, and he made history come alive. I referred to him in the previous podcast. And, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, we dates and all this is important, but if you get the narrative, the storyline, what is God trying to do in a nation, you know, and the ideas of what it's founded on, then that is critical. And I believe if the future replays the past, then so too must the past anticipate the future.
Whoa, say that again.
So if the future replays the past, so too must the past anticipate the future.
That's good.
And so, you know, the writer in Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but, you know, one of the New Testament writers talks about the importance of history. This is why, you know, Hebrews, we're mm-hmm. telling you these stories so that you can learn. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so ingrained into, you know, Jewish thought through the Old Testament. It goes to today, you know, write the law on your hands, you know, remember, and they do all these rituals. It's to remember their history, mm-hmm. because without their history, there is no future. We're tied in.
That's right.
William Shakespeare wrote once, past is prologue. And prologue just means what's the future. Mm-hmm. So what's past is the future.
Past is prologue.
Past is prologue. And so
didn't know I like Shakespeare as much as I do now.
He had a good first name, William.
Yeah.
So, you know, history is not just full of wars, you know, useless wars. It's full of ideas that have direct consequences on people. Mm-hmm. And so you go from the macro level of, you know, oh, you're talking about ethereal ideas about statecraft and, you know, all this stuff. I don't care about that. I just care about, you know, taking care of my family. Well, if you don't care about those big ideas and you don't know your history and your roots, and should I, as a Christian believer, you know, in 21st century America, should I ascribe to Marxist thought? That's not that big of a deal, right? You know, I love Black people, so I'm going to fully get on board with the organization Black Lives Matter. You should too, you know? And I would say, hey, of course Black lives are sacred. I have so many Black friends, as do you. You know, I'm not going to like sit here and justify for the next 20 minutes that we're not racist, because we're not, and we can prove it.
Right.
And you can come meet with us and we can tell you.
Right.
You know, my dad did one of the best things, and I'll tell this story real quick, that any father could ever do. When I was growing up as a teenager, a young man, 14, 15, 16, I love basketball. So what he did, and I actually have never asked him, Dutch, if he intentionally, you know, did it for this reason, but he took me in summer into an inner city league in Danbury, Connecticut. He coached me on three teams because I just love basketball. I couldn't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. So he was maybe, if not the only, he was one of the only white coaches in that league. I was one of the only white players. So when I'm a young man, he would invite, you know, these young Black players over to our house. They would sleep over. We would go out for Slurpees at 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, I didn't even think it. I wasn't racist. I didn't even think it existed, because it just became normal for me.
Right.
And I remember, you know, again, being 16 years old, you know, this Black kid sleeping in my house. He comes up to me. He's like, hey, you got a pick? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll get you my guitar pick. And I bring it to him. He's like, no, man, a hair pick. And I'm like, what the heck's a hair pick?
Yeah, you know? Right.
So we're not automatically racist because we're white people.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So going back to, is it important, you know, the Black Lives Matter, you know, that I buy into that. It absolutely is. Cause if you look at their ideology, it's, you know, based on Marxism and identity politics. Mm-hmm. And that is antithetical to biblical truth. Mm-hmm. And so, And I'm not trying to like blame, you know, people, Christians who I believe they're well intentioned but misinformed.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And one of the things that angered me so much about the violence and the way some of these organizations have hijacked the justice movement.
That's right.
Is that after the death of Mr. Floyd, I felt like the nation was so appalled and was so grieving what happened that the entire nation was ready to move forward another step or two into justice. Different forms of racism that still exist. I just felt like America was poised to move forward into another level of healing. And then I felt like some of these organizations that have other agendas hijacked that. And it so angered me because I thought, you know, it's making it so much harder for some of us who do know that there is still racism. And of course, Black Lives Matter, as do all lives. And we want to get on board and make sure that there's no racism at all and that it's not affecting the Black community. And we understand some of the things that still take place. But it's almost like now you have to embrace this Marxist revolution and some of the things that they stand for, just, you know, you said it, I can't go along with that. So I can support the principle, but I can't support that organization. So, but having said that, I don't want to get too far off the point of history, but the point is America is not just, that's all our history is not bad. We had racism in our past. We broke covenant with First Nations people. But God heals not just people. God heals wounds that come into history, and he cleanses from that. You know, Israel is a great example of, they had bad things in their history. You know, Israel had times when they served Baal and other idols that religion demanded human sacrifice, and there was, believe it or not, there were times in Israel's history they were offering their children as human sacrifices and doing other things that were appalling, and God had to bring judgment, and the judgment was to stop that, arrest them and to correct it. But at the same time, you find prayers and examples in scripture of leaders, Daniel, Nehemiah, others who repented for those sins. And the nation was cleansed from past sins, just like people can be cleansed from past sins when we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. So just to reiterate, just the fact that these things are in our past does not mean they still taint who we are today. Racism was evil, but I believe that the prayers of repentance over racism have been heard, and that God has cleansed us. Doesn't mean all the symptoms and consequences and some of the lingering effects aren't still there that we have to deal with. It just means that we are forgiven for that sin. Same thing with the way we treated Native Americans, et cetera. So, you know, and it's not the purpose of this podcast to get involved in that, but rather to say the fact that sometimes things that are unrighteous are in our lineage, in our heritage, does not make us evil. We can be cleansed from those things, and we can lay down then the evil history and move and cling to the good history. And I think what God wants to do right now is heal this nation. He wants to say, let's leave that past history. It's not a matter of denying it. God doesn't deny it. He puts these things, Israel did, he put it in the Bible. He's not trying to sweep under the rug, say it never happened. He's trying to say you're forgiven. This is cleansed. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. So what I say to people in America today is, of course these things existed, but we don't quote unquote deserve blessing because we're perfect. America doesn't deserve anything because we're perfect. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin and unrighteousness. And what we have to do is believe that is true, that he cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And if we would just embrace that, America could be healed now. all the races could be healed of the scars and the things that have happened. We could rebuild communities, and we could work to eradicate some of the poverty and things that have resulted from our past. America is poised at a place where incredible healing can come because incredible repentance is taking place corporately over the sins of this nation. And if we only knew it, we are positioned where God could heal us and deliver us. But I want to say, I think it's important to say those things. And we may just do another podcast. I thought we'd do two together, but we might just do another one and just talk about racism.
Absolutely.
And talk about this concept of white privilege.
Right.
Because I know you well enough, you know me well enough to know we just frankly, we simply are not in denial about our past. There are things in America's past that aren't good. But what does that mean today? And does it mean we're evil? Does it mean we tear everything down, start over? What does it mean?
Right.
And I think a good open dialogue, honest dialogue and discussion about it would actually be good. Because what I will do when we talk about it is not just talk about the sin. I'll talk about healing and forgiveness and cleansing. If I were talking to interviewing a person today to hear their testimony of how God saved them from being a rapist, a murderer, or bound by drug addiction, or abused their family, whatever, my focus would not be on all the bad things they did. My focus would be on the incredible power of Jesus to heal. To cleanse, to deliver. It's like, I don't remember if it was this podcast or the last one you referenced David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. But that's not his epitaph in Scripture.
Right.
God says he was a man after my heart, and he served my purpose for his generation. And Jesus is called the Son of David. So at some point, we have to believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses not just people, but nations. And so we can talk about that, because if America could fully embrace that, if all races could embrace that, then we could be healed.
That's right.
I don't tell people, get over it, move on. What I tell, that'd be like telling a sinner, you used to be a sinner, get over it, now just be something different. No, I tell them, you must be born again. You must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Well, so when I tell people that have been wounded from past sins culturally, I don't just say, get over it. I say, hey, there's a healing in Jesus. Let's all embrace forgiveness and let the blood of Jesus bring not just forgiveness, but healing and cleansing. Anyway, you can tell this is a subject that's important to me. I probably rambled too long, but.
Well, I love it. Let me just say this, because people may be thinking, oh, well, that sounds great, but it doesn't work on the ground level. Well, you and I both know two men, where it works on the ground level. And I'm going to only take 2 minutes here. I'm talking about Will Ford, a black man, and Matt Lockett, a white man. They wrote a book called The Dream King. You can go, buy it.
The Dream King.
The Dream King.
It's a great book.
And basically, Matt, a white man, he became friends with Will, a black man. They were friends for about a decade. And then suddenly, through a series of serendipitous events, they found out that Matt's ancestors owned Will's ancestors as slaves.
It's amazing.
It's an unbelievable story.
It's amazing.
And so then, in that moment, Will had a decision to make. Is he going to get on with the Marxist, victim mentality, identity politics, and walk away from his friendship with Matt? Or is he going to live out everything that you just eloquently spoke about for the last 10 minutes, ground level truth? And that's what he decided. And so now Matt and Will have been in relationship even closer. They talk every day. Their families eat meals together. They vacation together. They come to the table of brotherhood. And Will has said he had to intentionally decide to leave that white baggage behind and forgive Matt for something that Matt didn't even do, but his ancestors did.
Right.
And now they are like a test case of hope for America and racial healing. And it's through forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ and everything that's true biblically. It is not through Marxist ideology, because if Will had chosen that route, then forget it. Mm-hmm. You know, he would be angry at Matt, and they would. And now they have this beautiful story. So, I want to talk about one more thing with history, if that's okay, or you want to segue?
No, before you jump in, I just want to say one more time. I want to encourage people to get that book. And give us the name one more time.
The Dream King.
The Dream
King.
King. And it's Will Ford and Matt Lockett. And you will be, if you get, of course, I know both of these brothers well also, and have read the book. And if you will read or listen to their story, you will be amazed. And that's what God wants to do right now. He wants to bring us together. And we don't come together through hatred and violence and anger. Let's move on from the hijacking, and let's let God really bring true healing so we can do that. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so going back to history, something that C.S. Lewis, I thought that this, I mean, of course, Lewis is so brilliant in everything that he says, but he talks about, you know, not caring about your history. He describes it as chronological snobbery. And he says, newness is no virtue and oldness is no vice. Truth and beauty and virtue are not determined by when they exist. Nothing is inferior for being old, and nothing is valuable for being modern. So basically this will free you from the tyranny of novelty and open us up to the wisdom of the ages. You know, the Bible talks about return to the ancient past. And you know, America, Western civilization, you know, we're so technologically advanced right now. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, in medical field sciences, all these things and what we can do, and, you know, space travel. And I think sometimes, you know, you look back on the 1700s and you say, oh, you know, those guys, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. You know, let's tear down a statue of Christopher Columbus, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We know better than them because we're so enlightened, you know, in the 21st century, we're woke, and they don't know. But no, you know, C.S. Lewis says that's chronological snobbery. Mm. You're a history snob, and you need to look back to the ancient past and learn from the virtue. And, you know, our founders understood this, and they talked about it. They called it providence, you know, the providence of God, mm-hmm. Through history. Mm-hmm. And Noah Webster, you know, of course, we have the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Well, I have a copy, it's massive, of the 1828 original Noah Webster dictionary. And what I love about it is every word that he defines, then he goes through scripture,
right,
or gives some kind of biblical analogy,
right,
you know, which is, of course, even more evidence that we were founded as a Christian nation. But
right,
he defines in 1828, he defines providence as the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. And then this is interesting, Dutch. So Noah Webster says he believes that there's a general providence necessitates a belief in particular providence. So he's saying that if God has a plan for history, and if God has a plan for a country, which of course we know he does, because that's the whole story,
right,
you know, God loves us, and, you know, we screwed it up with Adam and Eve, and then he sent his son. So he of course has a plan for mm-hmm. history. Nobody can deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he has a plan for general providence, then it necessitates a belief in particular providence. So it goes from the big picture, hundreds of years, mm-hmm. talking about nation states and America being exceptional, to you on the ground level as an individual leading your family to love God, mm-hmm. to learn history, to love God, and to pass that on to your children. And the two are linked. And I believe our personal destiny is definitely part of God's overall plan. And General Washington, and I'll close with this to see where you want to move next. So when, you know, he was at war for 8 years, 8 years he lived in a tent, Papa Dutch, you know. move. He had a beautiful farm in Mount Vernon, you know, that he could have retired to, but he lived out of a tent for 8 years to fight the British for us to enjoy what we enjoy. And, you know, he was constantly outgunned, outmanned by the mighty British army. And so he, in his diaries, when he summed it up, you know, why did you win? Why did the Americans win the war? The astonishing interpositions of providence. Basically, the Lord of history showed up for our little army day by day, hour by hour. And of course, that's old language, but I'm going to say it again. The astonishing interpositions of providence.
Wow.
So we need to love our history. Mm-hmm. And if we love, and I've never thought about it this way, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe this is off, but I'll say it anyways. If we love our history, then we love ourselves. It's tied together. Mm-hmm. If we hate our history, then that's a form of self-hatred. If we cut that flower to civilization, not only does civilization die, but we die. A part mm-hmm. of us dies. Mm-hmm. It's fratricide.
Very good. Very good. And I, when the Lord really arrested me with a love for America and a love for history and gave me his heart for this nation, what began to be so clear to me was, if God was in our founding, and our founders knew that, and if they looked to him and said, this is more than just a desire for freedom or to birth a nation, God is also in this. We're to be a light, a city on a hill, a beacon, if you will, and different ways they expressed it, but if they knew, you know, appeal to heaven because he's in this and he'll help us. In other words, he really cares if we become a nation. This is, he has some purpose in it. If that's all true, then what was it? Because see, when I talk about my love for America, there is a general sort of human side of that that I believe. It's appropriate to love my country. I believe it's appropriate to love the land that God had me born in. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe God loves my country more than other countries. I don't believe he loves my family more than other families, but it's still important that I love my family.
Right.
And when you broaden that to beyond the household family to clans and tribes in the same way, I don't believe God loves mine more than someone else's, but it's very important that I love mine as I also love my neighbor as myself. So I do have a human love that's real for America, but it was so much more than that when God gripped me for this nation. He immersed everything he was showing me was filtered through his purpose for this nation. And I realized this is no wonder there's such a spiritual war taking place for the soul of this nation, because it's more than just being quote unquote free. I don't want a turnaround in America just so we can continue to be the strongest or the richest, because I've come to realize our destiny is not to be strong. Our destiny is not to be rich. Our destiny as Americans, as a nation, is not to be free. Those are all things that God gave to us in order to fulfill our destiny. And our destiny is, summed up as clearly as anywhere else in the words of Robert Hunt when he landed at Cape Henry, 1607, and they put the cross there on the beach, and he said, among other things, the gospel will go forth from these shores, not only to this land, but to all the nations of the earth. Now, we talk about being prophetic. We talk about prophecy. I don't know if the man even used the term prophecy or prophetic. I have no idea. But I guarantee you he was prophesying. The gospel will go forth from these shores, not only to this land, but to all the nations of the earth. Well, that's our destiny. The destiny of America, while Israel's destiny was giving us the gospel, Messiah and salvation came through Israel. America's gospel is the releasing of that message, the preaching of that message, the taking it as no other nation ever and probably ever will be. America's destiny is to be a voice for God into the earth, of the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of his rule, which brings justice, which brings peace, which brings prosperity, all of these things. And so when he started giving me a heart for America, a love for America, and showing me his heart for America, it wasn't about, oh, we're the best, or oh, how great America is. It was the purpose of God. We have such an important place in history. And then, you know, you do have to factor in things like, well, we came to these shores and we mistreated First Nations people. And I'm not saying, well, God just, he just sent the white man over here to kick all them out because so we could trumpet the gospel around the world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying God's heart right now is for all of us. Red, yellow, black, and white, we used to sing in Sunday school. You know, the Latinos, the Asian Americans, Native Americans, Black Americans, Anglo Americans. His plan is for all of us to come together. And even though some of that was done poorly, hey, let's walk in forgiveness and let's embrace our calling together and say, we as a nation and a people are called of God to take the gospel around the world. And that is more than a message of Jesus will forgive your sins. That's a message of wholeness. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom is a message of wholeness. The more we embrace his message and scripture and what he's called us to do, the more we're going to eradicate poverty, human trafficking, hatred of the Jew in World War II, build hospitals around the world. It's not that we're trying to Americanize everyone, but we are trying to bring wholeness and freedom and health and healing and eternal life to the whole world. So, you know, to me, beyond just the practical application or understanding of the importance of history, our history is so vital because the more people know God raised us up for this purpose, that becomes incredibly powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a determination then, especially to the believer, to say, I will not let that be stolen. I will not let you bring up our failures to the point that you say we're all evil and we have to start over. And then the next step, of course, is to say we're not a Christian nation and to start prioritizing other religions. And as you said earlier in our discussion, excuse me, they're all welcome here. Atheists are welcome here. But doesn't change the fact that we are a Christian nation. We were born by God, created by him for this purpose, and we're not going to let that be stolen from us. So if they want to worship another God here, they're free to worship another God here. But they're not free to steal from us our history and our destiny. So, you know, to me, the importance of our history is incredible. We have to know God raised up this nation.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. Actually, there's a lot of things that I want to say. But one, to sum up what you've said, I believe God blesses America. You know, we say that and people are like, oh, God shouldn't say God bless America. Well, no. I believe God blesses America so that we can be a blessing to others.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely our founding and our purpose. Everything you said.
Same reason he blessed Abraham.
That's right. To be a blessing to others. Exactly. Yep. Right. Yep. And actually our founders, a lot of them wrote, you know, that America, like we're a new Israel, you know, not replacing Israel, but like we, just as the Lord blessed Abraham and the Jewish people to be a blessing to others, we believe he's called us to bless other nations.
Totally.
All right. Two. Abraham Lincoln, when he was 28 years old, he gave a speech, and he talked about the purpose of America and, you know, the founders and all this stuff. And he used a phrase at that time, you know, of course, this is before, you know, 9/11 and terror and nuclear war. You know, they basically said, hey, we don't have to worry about a foreign invasion because, you know, we've got a sea on both sides. You know, we're landlocked. What we need to worry about for liberty is death by suicide. If we forget our founding and our history and our Christian roots, and then this is such a 28 years old Dutch, just listen to this phrase. It's so amazing. He said, the silent artilleries of time will make us forget.
Wow.
The silent artilleries of time. So if we just go about our business, you know, day after day, year after year, and we don't remember our history, we don't teach our children where we come from, well, eventually we're going to move so far away from it that it just happens by default. You know, of course, it's like the law of, you know, inertia. Like if you, you know, just don't take movement, well, the void is going to be filled by something else. You know, you have to act, you have mm-hmm. to take action, you have to do things. Mm-hmm. Don't allow entropy to happen. And I don't understand. I mean, obviously Lincoln was called to save our nation, so he had an understanding at age 28 of this, but, I think about that phrase a lot, you know, with my young daughters, you know, I have twin girls who are 10, you know, you have two beautiful daughters who are grown now. And now you have, you know, grandkids, and everything that we've talked about, you know, do I love to read? Do I love to like think about, you know, ideas? Of course, you know, I love that, but what is its purpose? Yeah, it's for, you know, blessing the world and, you know, allowing us to live in freedom. But it's for my daughters.
That's right.
And for my daughter's kids.
That's right.
You know, so that they can continue to live a good life and they can continue to propagate the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. And that's why I believe that America is exceptional, not because we're smarter or more powerful right. or better. It's because we were founded not on an ethnos, an ethnicity. We were founded on an idea that all men are created equal.
So good.
You know, and so that's why we're different from other nations. Not again, not that you and I are sitting here better than somebody in Africa or Europe. We're not any better. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all fallen.
Right.
You know, wretched man that I am, Paul right. said. We are all in the same boat, you know, whether we're here in the first world country or, you know, a terrible, you know, war-torn land like Afghanistan that I've been to. We are all the same imago Dei, created in the image of God. No better than them. They're no worse than us. What makes us exceptional is that idea.
That's exactly right.
That we have been, you know, founded upon biblical truth in the creation of not only like the purpose and the idea of our nation, literally the structure of our government was based on, hey, men are not angels, they wrote in the Federalist mm-hmm. Papers. So we have to create a tripartite government with checks and balances because we can't trust human nature. They got that from the Bible.
They did. Absolutely, they did.
So have we done it perfectly? Heck no. No, we've gone over that, you know, a lot in these two podcasts. But with us living in a fallen world since Adam and Eve made that tragic choice, again, we have just had a history of killing each other and violence. And look, our nation was founded with the original sin of slavery. And now 250 years later, we had an African-American president.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, I referenced him earlier. That's what Shelby Steele said in his book, White Guilt. He's like, he's a black man. There is no country as unbelievably great as the story of America because like every other country that had slavery, but then you get to having an African-American president, African-American secretary of state, African-American millionaires. He's like, I can do whatever I want in this country. Like, are there still stupid racist people? Yes. And there always will be, unfortunately. I'm not saying that racism in some people will ever be eradicated. We're always going to have it, and we're always going to have to fight that. And that is racism.
It hurt.
It's the stupidest thing to not love somebody because they have a different. I don't even understand how people are racist. Right. It's the dumbest thing.
Right.
But as a country now, are we systemically racist in, like, you know, our law? I would say no. I would say no, because Martin Luther King Jr. came in the proper spirit, nonviolent, you know, he turned the other cheek. He did what Jesus said,
right?
You know, and he changed our nation.
Right.
And, you know, then that gave birth to the Civil Rights Act in 64, Voting Rights Act in 65. And, you know, we have moved, you know, forward, you know, since Dr. King's days. And now, like you referenced earlier, we've lost an opportunity with all this stuff that's happened, because now we're taking steps backwards. Mm-hmm. And instead of fulfilling Dr. King's dream, where he said, you know, my dream is that someday my children will be judged not based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Mm-hmm. And instead of that, we have some people are embracing the Marxian nightmare, mm-hmm. you know, of we're just going to divide and we're going to mm-hmm. destroy America. But our country's roots are undeniably Christian. They're undeniably strong. And I have hope that if there's just a remnant of us in the church who will awaken to the call of God on our lives to recall the historic nature of God, I firmly believe that we can replant those flowers, the uncut flowers of civilization, and that we can once again see a blooming of a renaissance and the kingdom of God in America, and we can see hundreds of years of fulfillment for God's dream. It's not too late.
No, it's not. That's a good place for me to jump in and just say, let me pray. I feel, when you were just talking there, I thought, this is a really good time to pray. I feel faith. I feel like people listening to us have faith, and they realize that God is not finished with America. And I personally have great faith that God is going to use this season, even of unrest, to bring further healing to it. This may surprise people, not just to change some laws or do a bunch of governmental things to try to heal the nation. I'm all for making any change legislatively that needs to be made, or, you know, if there's when abuse is found, the police force or law enforcement, whatever. Yeah, let's fix it. Absolutely, let's fix it. But we need God to heal this nation. And that's what can happen and will happen. So, Lord, I thank you for your purpose, your overriding purpose. And as I see the enemy trying to divide us and to cause us to move actually backward, not forward, by fomenting hatred and violence, I'm asking you to raise up voices of wisdom and integrity and truth that will speak in ways not to deny that we still have some problems and not to sweep things under the rug, but to come in with voices of harmony and peace and saying, here's how we can move forward. Here's how this could be healed. Here's how we can eradicate some of the lingering effects of slavery or injustice. Lord, we want to do that. And I'm asking you to help us do that. I'm also asking you to silence and discredit those that want to reshape our history. They want to say we're evil and we were born for wrong reasons and that it was just a white man's country. It could get rich off of everyone else. Lord, I pray that you expose the evil and the lies and help us to recapture our history, our Christian heritage, for the right reasons, that we have been raised up as a nation to trumpet the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of wholeness, a gospel that brings justice, brings healing in the earth. I'm asking you to help us do these things. I bind every work of Satan in this nation right now to destroy it, to divide us, to turn us away from our ideals and move us toward Marxism and steal from us truth. I bind those efforts in the name of Jesus, and I say they will not prosper. You will turn this around, and you'll give us the third great awakening that we have been asking for. You are not finished with America. You will help us in this hour. It will become our finest hour. I decree that over this land in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for being with me today. This has been a great, great podcast. We'll do another one, and maybe we'll get your better half here. But also, I'm going to pray about, would the Lord have us just very openly talk about racism and this, some of the contentious things going on right now. The only thing that gives me a little pause is I wish Will or one of someone who was here from a different race or part of the culture that can contribute. I don't want it to sound like a couple of white guys telling everybody else what they need to believe. But I'm going to pray into that and just see. Maybe we could get him on by phone and the three of us together could talk about these things. So anyway, I just want to let the people know, pray with us, and I can just pretty much promise them we're going to do that. We're going to address these things and give them some ammunition for their prayers and as they talk with other people. Anyway, love you all. Thank you for listening to this, and we will talk to you next time. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Dutch Sheets Ministries. If you would like more information about us, or if you've been impacted by this podcast and would like to sow into the ministry, please visit our website at dutchsheets.org.